Of course, this has been an interesting adventure. I guess we're going into five months now. And it has lots of complexities and full of variety, challenges, realizations. When I had mentioned how some time back I wanted to be more involved in trying to do my little part in being a little global change agent, because I did feel that too often in leadership we benefit from the perks of the positions and the power and the money, and sometimes we take more than we give. So just by the work that we see and do in our own ISKCON family, the Vaishnava, through the Vaishnava connections, but also just noticing in the business world, in the entertainment world, interfaith communities, similar problems. People in relationship and anxiety, people out of people who are not in relationship and anxiety, people don't have children and anxiety, people have it and anxiety. Have so much trouble trying to somehow gear their kids the way they feel themselves comfortable with. And it's not easy because one gets affected by acculturation and media and so many different patterns. A lot of the normative patterns are not so much based on the development or the better development of the human spirit. And basically, until society runs by influence and money, nothing bad, but it's a matter of the consciousness that's involved. You need facility, you need money, you need technology. But it can be a monster if it's not used properly. So I felt, every year I'm traveling all these countries and doing these things, and I want to help more. And so that got this thing a little bit more started, what's going on. Now, tattva is difficult. Guru tattva, Vishnu tattva, Shiva tattva. Vishnu tattva, there's normally people think that there's either one God or there's many gods, but all that's true. There's one God who also expresses himself in many ways. He reveals himself in many ways and empowers different representatives in many different ways. And so it's like when people normally think of Hinduism, they think of Rama, Shiva, Vishnu, or they see so many involvements of what has now become Hinduism, where people do worship a lot of sub-demigods, just as people do in Native American culture and African culture and so many other different cultures. But if you look at the inner core there, you'll find that they see that more in the mood of, say, how we would in Judeo-Christian understanding. They see it more in the mood of angels and archangels and whatnot. And they realize, perhaps even more, than we do in our Western or modern conception, that mentorship and guidance is important. And that, just like any important person, we often are able to get more in contact with them through somebody who knows them. There is a diplomatic arrangement, there is protocol, etc. So there is also this such protocol when it comes to the spiritual paradigm. But it gets abused. And history has shown, it doesn't matter what faith or religion, priestly class is often abused in their positions. And so sometimes people think that the priestly class isn't important, and they create kind of the New Age mood, which is new age, but it's old age, because it doesn't fully empower the spirit. Because the spirit unfolds and empowers based on, yes, individualized effort. But nobody who's serious about life trying to do everything on their own. Anybody whose vision is so small that it can only include their own perceptions, their own aspirations, and even their own needs. They have a small vision. People who are most successful, that yes, they're independent and they're creative and they're innovative, but they're also very scrutinizing about where to get information and how to associate and what is secondary and what is primary and what is superficial. So they process and then they waste the time when they create success. You see, one of the most important things about real success is that you make other people successful. One of the most important things about real servitorship or leadership is not what one has become or what one has, the money, the power, the influence, but how many people's lives have you assisted or helped? Maybe a little, it doesn't matter, commercial, political, social, or religious. But where there's real leadership, it has helped improve on the quality for others. And in the process, obviously the person may become great, may become famous, may become appreciated, but it doesn't matter. The idea is that everyone is being ultimately monitored by the same God, and we have a responsibility. So Guru taught us something also very complex. Like we look at the prophets and we think, wow, St. Francis of Assisi, St. John of Arc, St. Benedict, Muhammad, Jesus, Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Amudacharya, Madhvacharya, Bhargavacharya, Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva. We wonder, why did they suffer so much? Why were their assassination attempts, even from Zoroaster, why were there stabbed, poisoned, why didn't the Lord make it easier? Why is Jesus in such a special position as he does? Very special. Special Son of God. Why did he have to take birth? We are celebrating very soon the appearance of Jesus. But how was he born? In a manger. How was he born? What did he have to do? How those who he was to help the most, the Pharisees, the priestly class, they were turned, the ones who most viciously turned against him and crucified him. So, one, everybody has their own different tests they have to undergo, and that should be clear. When we come into this material world, it means we're marked. Just like if you have to spend some time in a reformatory institution, some discrepancy is there, you're marked. It means that there's some need for rectification. There's something that's done that doesn't fit quite in to what the real standard is. You're giving censorship, you're giving some type of suspension or something. It's a warning. So the onus is on the person to improve and to change. And so most of the creation of God's creation is existing outside of these temporary material worlds. And so the prophets, when they come, what is their main message? Jiva Jago, wake up, change, repent. Look at any major bona fide prophet. They come with the idea that there's something great and wonderful that's available for everybody. To their different degree of commission, they're experiencing it. To a certain extent, they leave some of it behind and they tune down to come into an environment where people are mainly addicted to just immediate gratifications. And where people, in some sense, either deny that there is a God after all. What is this God stuff? Is this something for you? Is it that act as a crutch for the weak? And in these times, it's even harder because people see so many of those who are so-called very captivated in their theologies and religions and being some of the most exploiters to humanity because of fanatical religious involvement is the most dangerous threats to human existence. So we have four or five books in line now, and one of our books deals with that fanaticism and sectarianism. War, violence, and peace solutions. So, this Guru Tattva is the Lord sends different prophets. Sometimes he empowers someone from the prison house, from the reformatory. And this is called Shaktivation, like an aspect of the Lord enters into that person and moves the individual like a puppet. Sometimes the Lord himself, a part of him, comes and acts as a certain kind of as an avatar. In one case, it's some conditioned state to bring about the purity in a particular lifetime. In another case, there is ongoing purity. You have different kinds of mentors or gurus for different kinds of bona fide systems. And you have different kinds of teachers and mentors who are cheaters or who exploit, like in any situation. You have some parents who are very dedicated to trying to do their role as parents. You have some parents who steal too much children themselves and they don't take up proper. They haven't reached proper maturation in their role as parents. And unfortunately, you have some parents who simply see their offspring as a burden and really don't do what's necessary to fulfill their obligations. And worse, you have some who engage in incest and abuse. And they literally not only do not protect, but they abuse. So you have that also, leadership across the board, whatever it may be. But one must be sensitive to knowing what they want and need, and sensitive in finding good association. They'll be hungry for good association, wherever it may come. Srila Maharaj kind of explains it, I think, one of the nicer ways. He says, now when it comes to like Vaishnava line, because you know you have some mentors whose duty is to take people to heaven, like heaven on earth, and that those who have a duty to arrange for people to go to the heavenly kingdom, paradise, like Muhammad, the heavenly different levels of the heavenly kingdoms, and there are different levels of teachers and yogis who have a duty of helping to arrange for liberation. With their experience, samadhi and nirvana, and Buddhism, and where they are no longer entangled by the duality of the material world. And rare that there are teachers who bring people to the personal, variegated, heterogeneous involvement, a full involvement of the soul in its eternal relationships in the real world, the spiritual world. Because normally we think that the material world is matter and substantive and the spirit is ethereal, which is the opposite. What material is categorically a thing of its own? The chair, the table, everything is molecules and neutrons and photons and light waves and whatnot. It's an illusion. You watch TV and you have an illusion that you're seeing so much things, but there's just so many different variegated electrical and arrangements that produce a certain image. So, you have the special category of like the pure devotees who have come right from the spiritual world. They do what they have to do and they go back or they move on to other universes. And this is like Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada and Goswamis when they come. This is a similar category of Jesus. With Vaikuntha, very, very high soul. He comes and he goes and moves about. So, and you have a category where one has one foot in the spiritual world, one foot in the material. All bona fide guides. But where those who directly come in, they have nothing to do with, in terms of their karma with these material energies. Never fall down in their unability puppets. Rare case of one foot in the spiritual world, one foot in the material. Normally they don't fall. Their perception, their commission, and they're already one foot on that side and on the other side. They know what it means on this side to get too delayed, too distracted. And then you have those who have 2 feet. In this side, in the material world, they have the blessings, the commission of being aware of what is sensitive to pointing to what is available outside of this realm. and they have the ability to guide others to there, to those destinations. But they also have to work like hell on themselves, so that they're teaching and pointing, that they should be constantly checking in, that they're moving also. It's like you have sometimes a teacher who's teaching, and also they're studying at the same time. And so they're working on their doctor's degree. Same thing, they're teaching, of course, at the university. So they're teaching and they're encouraging the students to learn and to produce. But they also have their work. A few rare cases, some of us, some have come in from some realms, rather exalted, and have gotten a little too entangled in some missions in material energy. In some rare cases, what it happens, mercy is there, so the Lord arranges according to His desire how to reclaim such souls. We perhaps can have a few people in that category in our own society who are very highly evolved beings. But after several missions, have gotten a little too much identifying with the work more than the identity. So some of that may be my own case also. So understanding mercy of Krishna and Guru, knowing that effort, very important, but mercy is just as important. Basically, one can never fully come up to the mark of what is necessary. Conditioned souls, whatever level condition they may have, but going back to God here. Because we're so away, even though we're so close, because the soul is pure. But it's like, you know, in an environment where everybody's doing practically the same kinds of things, just naturally incorporate that. You know, it becomes a part of acculturation. You have a child now. You go next month to France. You go to Switzerland. You go to Spain, Germany. And you live there. So your child is naturally just going to adopt so many normative patterns based on associations and based on what seems to, you know, to be the norms. And so to be in the world but not to be others is very difficult. And that's why the representatives keep. They come and they go. You know, they go constantly. And somehow by Prabhupada's mercy, I know that several people have had a similar category. They have served Prabhupada in different lifetimes. And so to that extent, we're kind of like part of a diplomatic, spiritual, interplanetary corps. It's like a diplomat working for America. So they may be stationed here or there, military personalities, but they have a particular base, you know, a particular identity. And so according to the situation, they may get called somewhere else. So present indications seem to suggest at this point that I will be leaving soon. Why so soon? You know, not that old. Been healthy most of my life. And all of a sudden, everything is being shut down. Got sugar diabetes very high now. Can't get it down. We'll work on it. Prostate problems increase over the agony. Go to the bathroom. Pain all the time. Fever every day. Don't sleep most of the time. Because what normally happens is that because the cancer is so thick in the foot, as we said, the doctors in Mexico, the second doctor who was working with me, said in 28 years he never saw such a thick level of concentration, you know, of melanoma for all the cancer patients they were working with. Melanoma usually doesn't affect people with dark skin so much. But when it does, it's always worse. So then, you know, I got the issue where, you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe the foot shakes. I wake up. Boy, doze off for a few minutes. So, you know, there are times when I'm thinking, how much more? I know we're never given more than what we can bear. And so whatever is given is purposeful. There's a reason. Because in my case, I particularly ask, allow me to suffer or to experience whatever can assist in helping a quantity number of people to be freer in their own spiritual journey. Now, often when someone makes that kind of prayer, we see the highest level, like in the case of Jesus or Vasudevadatta, that it ain't always accepted. Like in Vasudevadatta's case, Lord Chaitanya, you know, quiver and tears fell out of his eyes when he heard Vasudeva speak like this. And he says, no way. He says, we will make you free from the universe, and still you will not have to undergo. But at the same time, notice in the case of Jesus, and this, you know, this film, I think, The Passion of Christ or something, maybe a little over the top, but supposedly the suffering was far beyond what the human, normal human body could have dealt with and still maintain consciousness. So the symbol is also there, or the theme is also there. And that is the duty of mentorship to not to enjoy or to benefit at the risk or at the demise of others, that one must be ready to make a sacrifice. It's a duty that the parent is to be joyful in making sacrifice on behalf of the child. Providing them, they have this little child now. And so it's a beautiful thing for them. And it's expected for them to engage in some inconveniences that will benefit the kid. And they feel a sense of well-being knowing that they can be used to, you know, to make that kind of sacrifice. Not that it is a duty or tolerance. So I'm scheduled for amputation on Thursday, which may or may not happen. The reason I say that is that although there's prayers, you know, all around the world that I stay and that I heal, and the Lord hears prayer, but there's additional variables. First, there's some prayers in this dimension, there's prayers in the other realms to come. The work is coming to a close. There's also prayers. See, the Lord has a sense of humor. So in some way, these prayers may be more used to help me to be freed of any other attachments or anarthas, ego, that I have, so that I make a glorious transition. Even though most of the people are praying in all the different countries, oh, let him stay. He has more. He can do something. Why should he leave now? And people are doing yajnas and prayers and programs in honor of my good health. Because one may think, well, where's the power of vandana? Where's the power of prayer? So many thousands of people are with focused prayer. And then, if Krishna just takes me away anyway, you know, what is the use of all these austerities and prayers? But when we pray, we petition the Lord. And we really petition Him that Thy will be done. If our concern is just somehow how to live a more peaceful life, or how to situate ourselves better in mature energy, then we make the prayers, not necessarily reach God, they reach His agents, and they get some reciprocation. But so often people don't realize that even though their prayers may get reciprocation, doesn't mean that its answer was the best thing for them. Look at the deeper aspects of any theology. It is thy will be done. Even though we have prayer for this, prayer for that, give me my daily bread. But that's only a certain level of love. Because deeper level of love is not so much conditional for what one wants, mainly for themselves. So I have asked the devotees not to pray that I stay. But I know most of them are. And most of the leaders there, they're praying that, you know, that I stay. But if I'm taken away, I see that the prayers are answered. Well, the prayers were due purpose. It was to help me with additional push of purification. And most importantly, it was to help them. Because when we pray, we also empathize, sympathize. We have to look a little closer at our own lives and our environments. And so in different ways, my sickness has created a wave, you know, throughout the society. Every time, you know, something happens to one of the leaders, it's a wave. Because I was a very unlikely person to become like an invalid practically. So I'm much weaker than I appear to be. I'm just harnessing a certain amount of energy because I want to communicate with you. No, you might, it's rather hard for me to breathe. And you know, since I've been talking, my leg has been shaking. It may start later, but probably give me some, you know, some dispensation right now. So the prayers then being accepted, hopefully for more and more benefit of those who are making the prayers. And hopefully if I do stay or not, that it'll be accepted that whatever is best in the service of my guru and the service of myself or whatever little I can do in the world, I'm ready. I am not eager. I'm a very spoiled person. I'm the youngest in the family, I'm a baby in the family. I was always a teacher's pet, etc. with Pansy. So I'm not the kind of person who embraces pain. Even though I had some very difficult places, I mean, I lived in parts of Africa that were really difficult. We had no running water, no electricity, and we got scorpions falling off, and we got snakes in the room, and you're sleeping on a cot, and you feel a snake under you. Never desire to be a part of those environments, because even as a kid, I felt afraid of insects. But at service, I realized that, especially the body that I'm in, being in a dark skin, that I could do certain kind of things in some of those countries. Because people are so body conscious, so ethnic conscious, so tribal conscious. And since my lifestyle is American, African, Indian, African-American, a little bit think like a little bit racist. That's why traveling and having disciples in all different races and countries, you know. You want to understand your children, you want to try to appreciate their needs and not just your own imposing on them. So, you know, there's been different things. There's been a few very good astrologers, for what it's worth, who pretty much concurred that I'll get better, I'll get worse, I'll get better, and then I'll leave, you know, later in this year. I was trying to get a more of a confirmation from the Jagani Vas in Mayapur, one of our top, you know, priest pujaris in the world, as a twin brother. And often gets very direct communication from the deities. And so I was told secondhand that he also had a communication from the deities that I'd be leaving soon. Now, you know, in one sense, why go through all this chopping up amputation and you know, leave a few months later anyway? It may be necessary. Because I have sugar diabetes, then it means any kind of operation or whatever has more trouble healing, has more complexities, especially with sugar diabetes, you have more trouble with foot your feet, with your kidney, and with the eyes. So I'm already having pain in my eyes, so with the sugar being high. Last night I was having a lot of sensation in the kidney. And didn't sleep very well because I was either waking up because of the leg shaking or because of the prostate problem. You pass water every hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, waking up because of that. So I have a lot of time to reflect at night time. All the time now because, you know, I'm not so much physically active. My going around the world now is, you know, from bed sitting here. Sometimes I sit here. So I kind of feel like, you know, we tried a lot. We had, you know, very good doctors that we researched all around the world, caretakers, and we chose, you know, Mexico because they had allopathic practitioners, surgeons even, who were doing naturopath work. And so we rigorously followed it, you know, their treatments. And then, of course, I went to Hawaii to just focus on, you know, 8 in the morning to 8 at night doing different things. I did this IV. First I was doing 8 hours in Mexico, 4 hours vitamin C, 2 hours different times, interferon, a few other things. All kind of stuff, ozone shots, all kind of tablets. I'm taking 58, probably almost more tablets than what I eat these days. I don't have much appetite. Anyway, I don't want to go all there. That's just the body stuff. But the point is that the other day, I did put in an appeal. And that appeal was that I prefer now to be able to leave. That's my preference. But I put a rider on it. That was my duty. So I want to walk my tongue. My duty was that if in fact my own guru was ready to accept that, then okay. But even though that's my preference, if he's not ready to accept it, then that's also okay. You know, I prefer in the sense that I'm thinking, okay, is there really much more I need to do to bring closure? Some adjustments in consciousness, and I can be helped with that by divine beings as well as all yourself. Is there things I need to say that I haven't said? No, you go to my books and pretty much I share whatever basic meditations that I have. My particular way that I serve Prabhupada. It's rather consistent. Do I want to have, you know, months or maybe a few years? It doesn't really seem to be able to be that long if I do stay. But that could all change. So I want to go through a very, very gradual process of deterioration. I mean, even now, what I go through is like, it's intense that I force myself to eat because I have to eat something. Force myself not to throw up when I eat because it's got to stay down. So it's like, okay, how much can I really serve at this point? Okay, right. Being around and a few words of encouragement and whatnot. But, you know, that's kind of already done. And so much of that is already available in the culture you have. Like in a family, you have uncles and nieces and nephews and brothers and you have grandfathers. So there's so much of a support system. You take advantage of it. I've always tried to stress, don't be like a fanatic or don't be a cultist. Don't be a sectarian where you think it's only me and my teacher, me and my religion, me and my faith, me and my guru. Only so-called spiritists do these things. Yes, be chaste to whatever your situation is. Right? And at the same time, be loyal and, you know, dutiful. Today's society, people are so much into what is transitory and relative. And when they see somebody being loyal to something, they think, this is weird. Because most people don't have anything that they're really that loyal to. They just do what is functional, you know, for the moment, and what somehow they give or do, because mainly they want something. And so they're opportunistic, and, you know, utilitarian, and that goes on, and that's called relationship in most people. So I have asked that perhaps after a few days that I get snatched out of the body. Now, that may be accepted or may not. If it's accepted, I'll be joyful. Because even if I leave this plane, yeah, I still have ways to still support and to help. And if I leave, it means that Prabhupada decided that. He has other work and things for me to do. Or if I leave, I return to, I drop all of this stuff, this bhakti tirtha, this American body, this, you know, this integration, which is just a moment in time. I've been a little blessed to know something about what's available. If I'm allowed, I'll start from the day. I'll begin to live more in the other realms. There won't be much obvious change. But I'll begin to try to connect more. Perhaps what I'm joining, you know, more than what I'm leaving. So in your own cases, you have to look at it a little closer. You have to think, yeah, you know, Guru is like, you know, our father, he's like a big brother, he's like this. Or some of you, I am them. Some cases, I'm your God brother or God sister. You're my God sister. We had no idea that Prabhupada was going to leave when he left. I'm sure he had no idea when Guru Tamal Krishnamurti left. But Krishna had already arranged. What I am clearing is that my outcome is already arranged. I'm being a little timid in saying, let's speed it up. If it's necessary for me to stay, then allow me to speed up whatever I need to integrate, and be ready to do whatever I have to do. And of course, if I come out of this, I'll come out with so much more perception, compassion, and empowerment. And if I don't come out of this, I come out of this with more compassion, perception, and empowerment. Because I've received a lot of prayers. And those prayers are very special. So if you analyze it, for me, it's you know, it's a win-win. And we do remind ourselves that whoever we are, that everybody takes birth and they also die. You know, it's almost synonymous, birth, death. You know, they both go together. The question is when and how. So I'm going to stop there, but I just want you to know what I'm thinking. And to be more in anticipation for whatever may happen. So if you hear in the next few days that, you know, I didn't wake up, then you realize, okay, this work is finished in this phase. And his preference is honored. And if I stay, and you realize his prayers have been heard, his preference was considered, and there is some special additional work that he has to do on himself as well as having the communities to get more ready around the world, you know, for my departure. So So I'm extremely grateful. I mean, I've had a most amazing life. I mean, I'm a little guy brought up in the ghetto, just raised by a mother and lived on welfare most of my life. And at the same time, I've done it. You know, I've met so many presidents of different countries. So much communication, you know, diplomats all around the world. I've done practically everywhere, every major country, national TV, except America. Okay, we just do our regular little cable. From Russia to Ukraine to Australia, any place I do national programs. My books are all over the world now. And they will have much more effect when I'm gone, because people will begin to look a little closer that there was an interesting form to my presentations. That was having a very special impact. Because all of Prabhupada's and close associates, you know, they're like part of his Shakti. So they offer something to bring us Prabhupada and bring us with. See, sometimes high level beings, when they move about in their different commissions, they also come with, they also bring some of the entourage. It's like even a few of you, but so many of my disciples around the world, they, when they just saw me on TV or heard my voice on radio or something, they just, you know, had a, like a better word, a mystical experience. Because they realized, you know, that they knew me. A few of us had that word Prabhupada. We just saw him once, they heard him, and realized, I know this entity. It's just a carryover from the previous night. So don't be, you know, that shock, especially some who've had, you know, been with me for many lifetimes. So just be ready to join us when we join up together again, wherever it may be. But the important thing is that it's all about Krishna, it's all about God. According to each person's sincerity, then the Lord in the heart arranges to be able to connect that person. And so you need a different kind of relationship. But it's really about the Lord being so merciful and knowing how difficult and complex and bewildering and distracted people get, because mostly, especially in the day's time, people can just barely can barely think. They just have to keep trying to make money to pay off all their bills. Just working so hard, you know, just to be able to survive. So to try to think beyond that box. With the centralization of globalization of technology, the centralization of commerce and education, it's like everybody getting forced into constantly some of the same patterns. Same with MBT that they've been watched here in Washington, Chicago. They're watching in Ukraine and in Russia. And they're watching in the villages in India and in Africa. Similar kind of, you know, program. So the Lord knows them. That's why he sends this help. So let me conclude like that, you know. Never think that help is not very accessible. Whatever your individual situation might entail. Realize that Supreme does respond to our aggregate desires. We have to be a little more careful about what we're desiring and how it adds up. It doesn't always come in the way that we're expecting. I mean, I didn't really expect it to come this way so soon. I kind of thought I had another year to kind of, you know, focus for this. But it came a little faster, and that's okay also. So we conclude like that. Just be very grateful that somehow you have the chance to come in contact with this transcendental knowledge. Try to come up more and more to being a servant of the servant. And of course, to serve, the more capacity, facility we have, and the more we can assist. We want to help and serve, and if our capacity is, our stock is low, it's a good sentiment, but we can't do very much. But as we prepare ourselves, like a warrior, you prepare yourself in a better position to do the work you have to do. So be spiritual warriors, constantly working on yourself. Constantly try to be the change in yourself, what you would like and expect to see in others. Be humble, submissive, and bold. Be humble in that, be so eager to want to know and to grow and to use whatever you can in your spiritual journey. Submissive when things are available that you can benefit from, be greedy, be hungry. And be bold in knowing that Krishna has no favorites. That the Lord can empower anyone to do anything. If you knew some of the thoughts, I mean, I go in and out. If you knew some of the thoughts I have about global transformation, you would think I was crazy. But I know that if one can make themselves available, that divine intervention can just bring all kinds of shifts on this planet. So that was my nature. My nature was kind of extreme. And so what's happening to me now is part of that. Give me purity or give me death, or give me purity in whatever it entails, let it happen. Give me the ability to relieve some major suffering of others and whatever that entails, let it happen. And now I'm saying, okay, I'm ready to go. That's my preference. Because I'm extremist. I'm not active anymore. I'm going through too much pain, too much suffering, too much lack of my sense of being, of value, of value in different ways. But I'm also saying that if the transition is to be slow, if I'm to recover from this, also. So hopefully you can be able to accept the same. Prepare for the worst, but expect the best. I'm prepared that in a few days I'm gone. And at the same time, I'm considering, well, it may not be until on the operating table. On the operating table, also have more, will have more kind of mental choice in the matter. In the subtle body, in the physical body there, right? And so, it's up to me. I'll probably say, no, there you go. If I make it to up to the operation, if I make it through that, then I'll accept that. So let's be excited about, in your own cases, be more mindful of how you use your time. Be more mindful of what is going good in your life. Because you never know when it's going to shift. Every day somebody's dying. Every day somebody is coming down with chronic illness. Every day someone is going bankrupt who just days before the situation seemed to be okay. That is the nature of material body and material existence. Well, somehow, all that's going on, we live every day as if we're going to be around forever. Things that's important in life, make the decisions and honor it and act upon it. Organize your priorities so that which is primary you give more attention to. Secondary things, you deal with them in a secondary way. Necessities, but don't let them outride your primary. And at the end of the day, realize this whole experience in which your body is preparation for death. The whole experience in which your body is based on what consciousness that we ultimately are able to bring when it's time for the transition. According to the consciousness, determines what the next location is. Everything is going through transition. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't really destroy. It just changes its form. There's really no such thing as ultimate death. just transition. So I'm going to go another 5-10 minutes for questions, and then we'll let you go. We talked longer than I expected. I didn't think I would have this amount of strength to speak as long as I am. Hopefully you're able to hear me in the back most of the time, because yeah, I'm able to speak a little louder, but it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Go, Bonnie.
Wonderful to see you.
But it's even more wonderful to see you and your family. I think he wants to.
How can we understand and apply the concept of an eternal relationship with our spiritual master, especially beyond the gateway that...
It varies. We have eternal relationship with the Lord and with nature sitters, with eternally liberated entities. We have an eternal relationship with the divine ultimate Antaranga Shakti of God. Doesn't necessarily mean that we have an eternal relationship with a particular entity who's appearing as our guru. We may or may not. It's also according to his or her quality. If it's somebody who has 2 feet in the material world, very likely we don't have an eternal relationship with that person. And we say, but we all have guides. Yes, everybody. Spirituals and non-spirituals, we all have helpers who try to reach us and who try to make arrangements. Just that in most cases we may not accept or eagerly appeal or make ourselves available for it. We're all coming from the same Godhead, so that means that we all have ultimately, some similar connection. Now, one may have, according to their quality and whatever, they may have an eternal relationship with an entity that empowers or works through another being on their behalf. That we say how a guru may have to come back again and again and again. Yes and no. May physically come back, taking on other physical bodies, or seemingly physical bodies. Or that person may influence someone else to guarantee to help. To help that person. And so, in all cases, it's really the living entity in God, the entity in Krishna. And so how Krishna arranges to call that person in or to help him, that's up to them. There's some mentors who are just doing this from the first lifetime. Many of them have more trouble with helping. Others have done it, lifetime after lifetime. The entities in the spiritual realm who have special services where they leave and go. Rare, but some do. Some of the devotees who have gone ahead, some are situated in the spiritual kingdom and they still come and visit. Another question?
You had said that if we go deeper and make a change, that we can save you.
That you can save me?
We can help you heal.
Yeah, you're healing. Healing is not just a matter of physical body being patched up or working a little better. Healing is not just a matter of the physical body doing better.
So there's nothing
we can do? Yes. See, we have to do this. Whenever you, me, or anyone else leaves, nobody's going to be ready.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, if your daughter leaves, 5 years from now, or 50 years from now, you're not going to be ready. you know, it'll still seem too soon. You think, oh, you know, she's only 60 or 70 years old, why she got to leave now? You know, she, I mean, we always have so many reasons, and that's natural. You know, so you're never ready. But who stays in a mature body forever? You got to go somewhere. Just sometime. How nice in one sense that if I do leave soon, that, you know, so many of the devotees had a chance to reflect and to get ready. Staying is not, you know, living long. You know what I'm saying? Longevity. It's not something so wonderful. It's quality of life. Not a big thing to live for 100 years or longer.
Look what you do.
It's quality of life.
You saved us. You take care of us.
I had some role as uncle, father, big brother. That's family. Because most families are dysfunctional these days. But family is that you, you know, live your life and also try to look out to help other members of the family. It's unfortunate that the whole world is not a global family where people are able to have a deeper level of unity and diversity while dealing with their economic group, political group, racial group, religious group, that somehow they can't extend themselves sufficiently for others. Any other question? Yes. See, also we want to be careful that we don't just want to keep somebody around just so we can, you know, see their body.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying this in general. I mean, I've seen cases, like I saw my mother's case, you know, who died of cancer. I saw that, you know, she really should and could have left, you know, a year earlier. But the family was pretty much, except for my sister, my second sister, then it changed. But in some cases, some family members were so much in denial, they were thinking, you know, the next day she's going to be free of the disease. And so it's like my mother stayed longer, going through excruciating suffering, just, you know, just to get them ready. And so at some point, we tried to also play a role in reminding some of the family members that, you know, we need to release her. We need to give her permission to let her know that we're going to be okay. You know, it's okay that she can go. My mother, a very active person, for her not to be active was like death. Very selfless that she wasn't giving or doing something. I mean, life didn't happen. You know, it wasn't life for her. And she got to a point that she couldn't volunteer, she couldn't do this for people, she couldn't arrange things. It's like, for her, it was like she was already dead. And she was ready to go. But then, you know, it's like she stayed longer because people wanted to just see her body. Yeah. Yes. You had a very loud voice, and I don't know why you're voice so soft now. This ain't no pit. This is not a pity party we have in here. We're trying to address a few issues. Yes.
Why is there no more emphasis put on dying, death and dying, than it has been from spiritual masters around the world?
Oh, there. Almost every lecture we hear someone gives. Matter of fact, most people will say the opposite. Let's say, well, you Krishna people, you're always talking about you're not the body. Rise above the body. No, he's talking about don't be overly attached to mature energy. That you seem to be too morbid. Live, and don't be focused on death. But it's natural. You have an apartment, you get an eviction notice that, well, you got to live there, you got to do what you got to do. You got to be thinking about where you're going to go next.
Okay.
You know, you got to get ready. And that's it.
Well, we seem to be paying more attention to your lesson on death and dying.
Because you are having to be confronted, in your own case, with the fact that I'm dying. But you go through any of the Guru's books, you go through Prabhupada's lectures, especially, And you'll just hear every single lecture. You'll hear about preparing, you know, to, you know, to leave the body. Or living one's life that each day may be the last, realizing that we're all accountable. Karmically, everything we do, say, it's, you know, it brings some kind of reciprocation. Some people have issue. Prabhupada's writings is just too basic. He's just speaking so much about, you know, reaching out the body. But he's preparing us, and let us know that that can be properly understood. And so many other things, just organically, we realize and experience. Okay, one or two last questions. I don't want to hold you very long. Let me take him in the microphone back there. Neil?
Maharaj, you spoke about the principle of empowerment and that in terms of being bold. And one of the things that I sometimes reflect on is how Lord Chaitanya empowered.
It's okay. No, no, just speak loud. Let's stay where you are.
Lord Chaitanya empowered very poor and very low people in Krishna consciousness. I want to find out more about how someone without qualities can become empowered to do something spiritual and very great.
Well, this is a general theme. Empowerment means that whatever you have, it wasn't quite sufficient or it's not necessary to do what is to be done. And there's grace. You know, that gives you more facility. If you notice, and you reflect on these things more once I'm gone, certain things that I've said, certain patterns. But you may notice a pattern in many of my lectures is that one of the greatest undertakings for conditioned entities is to come to a point where one's desire to serve and to facilitate is far bigger and greater than one's capacity. And so one's love, compassion, desire to facilitate is greater than one's embodiment of adhikar. And so then what happens is that the Lord, seeing that, then gives additional strength and endowment. And so this is a category of Shakyavesh, where the work is very great, the oppositions are very great, the needs are extremely great, and so one feels that there's a need for divine intervention. So they so much want to facilitate and help. Their own facilities is not sufficient to make healthy enough facilitation. And so they get help. It's like you're trying to start a business, your capital is not so much. And then someone who has confidence in you, or someone who feels that, you know, your situation is quite feasible, then they supply additional capital. And then based on that, now you do far beyond what you can do. I mean, I see in my case so many things that, you know, I'm a very mixed type nature, but so many things that I was used to do, I don't have the capacity. But in some cases, I saw a need. And I found things happening, and I distinctly knew this is beyond my own power or capacity, beyond my own realization. This can happen to any of us if we, and does, when we make ourselves available. And that's why, you know, those of you who watch me, you see like I'm a contradictory person, and that there's a certain strength and there's a certain humility that seems contradictory. See me do, move into all kinds of circles and do all kinds of things. At the same time, I'm incompetent as anything in most areas of life. But, you know, if we allow ourselves to be used, then naturally we should be able to do that beyond what is normal, you know, within our facilities. Okay. So I'm going to take Krishna Adini and one last question, and then I'm going to let you go.
Try not to be too emotional. I remember I wrote you a letter about a year ago, and I said, this is before we knew any of this,
yeah.
And I said, Srila Krishnapada, I can't imagine living in a world without you. And so this whole experience has been, you know, really intense for all of us, of course. Because when Prabhupada left, just having you to be, you know, my friend and God brother and inspiration just gave me so much impetus, you know, to have hope. And so I've been really thinking about a lot about this death and dying and how what you're going through is a challenge for all of us to really realize what is Krishna consciousness. You know, we definitely don't want you to suffer and experience any pain and stay because of us. And yet the challenge is to appreciate that, you know, because we're together, we're eternally connected. And when you leave that body, that may even happen more so, you know.
There should be, we could be mindful of that, is that when someone makes transition, you know, no way means that, okay, that we have no relationship, no association, no ability to get in touch. I mean, to be honest, when Prabhupada left, our relationship with Prabhupada got stronger, you know, because then I had to go more internally, I had to try to be more mindful of what he said and what he did. So, you know, it can go both ways. I mean, many, we do get something special from, you know, from the Vapu, get something special from the Vani, get something special from the physical presence, get something special from the words, that's there. But ultimately we must go beyond just thinking that the guru, the mentor, the prophet is a physical, basically a physical entity. He's a representative. Postman may be tall, fat, ugly, short, but he's a postman. And the thing is that you want to bring me my mail. You can keep the bills, but bring the check. And that postman, you know, one day he may get a raise and do something else. Or he may get sent to another district. But the mail still comes. Okay, last question.
No.
Pardon?
Do you have any advice for
aspiring disciples? This is the last question we'll end on. She's asking, do I have any advice for aspiring disciples? I have. There are many disciples around the world who I didn't give formal, you know, diksha initiation to. And since we're looking pretty close now that I may be leaving soon, so that would be a natural question. Yeah, I would suggest what I've always tried to suggest, give more emphasis to it, is that it's not just the person, it's Krishna you're trying to connect with. And so Krishna's never deserting or leaving anyone. He may alter how he's helping. And when you have a strong relationship with a spiritual authority, whether it's formalized or not, that person still has some responsibility, you know, to assist. So I'm going to send out international message, or have it available if I do leave in the next week or so. If I may not, so I'll have it available that those who were already approved of or for initiation and whatnot, that I would encourage them to find one of my god brothers who they will be comfortable with a shiksha relationship. And then they approach that person about receiving them in that way. And they can have that person as a diksha, and shiksha has to be as a shiksha. Or they can ask the individual to give them initiation on my behalf. But still it should be someone who they are ready to associate with and to get help. You know, if your big brother leaves or your father leaves, then it's just kind of expected that then family members step up a little more to offer solace, support, guidance. It should always be like that. It should never just be that someone is just thinking only of their mother, only their father. It's a little dysfunctional. Some families are like that, that, you know, it's only one parent. But in a healthy environment, we need so many special things from our grandparents, even though they may be gone, but something, you know, some legacy they leave for us. We get something very, very special from our aunts and aunties. She gets something very special from our cousins and brothers and sisters. And often one's own wholeness is being able to get love, protection, support from many different sectors. That's why it's so difficult secularly and scripturally, is that secularly people are so much from dysfunctional families because, you know, so much the nature of modernity, and it creates that. It creates sometimes too much individualism, egocentricity, where people somehow don't really honor communication. They don't honor healthy, especially critical feedback. And so there's a posturing, and so relationships fall apart very easily. And in most cases, they haven't seen it so much around them. So much of what we are is what we hear, but also what we tangibly experience in our associations and in our environment. So our Krishna conscious setup has always been established as a culture where each generation should feel valued, and each generation should get certain kind of assistance, protection, guidance. There shouldn't be a constant, you know, reinventing the wheel. Like, it's so nice, you know, that we have a few cases of parents who are proper disciples that brought children into the world, and now they have grandkids. So how wonderful this is, that generation after generation can share and learn so much what they can build upon of what has already been put into motion. It takes a lot to build, you know, a strong movement, a strong philosophy, and a strong culture. And those who initially involved, you know, they're like pioneers. They make many risks, they make many mistakes, they get wounded, they sacrifice a lot. But it should never be in a healthy environment that the next generation should have to have a more difficult time. Should be things in place so that there's a little more facility and, you know, and leverage to help that person. And the elders should be able to share their wisdom so that also each generation doesn't have to, you know, make the same mistakes or have to undergo, you know, some of the same exact challenges, you know, fresh. So let's stop here. I mean, so my message is almost somewhat similar. To take your spiritual life very seriously. Realize in any of our cases, things can shift overnight. Everything materially is temporary, and it's going to shift. Those who you have so dear to you, take advantage of it. Be mindful. Let them know. Do what's important. Do it now. But also be ready that they're going to go or you're going to go. But whenever these transitions take place, we live life properly that we don't have a whole lot of compunction that we got so much stuff that we didn't have a chance to put in place. And then we meet death with a certain amount of joy, anticipation, and realize that it's going to come, so we're not so overwhelmed when it comes upon us. So what my experience is, and it could be any of your experience, one day you're going to be, you know, looking closer whether you're going to live or die, and one day you're going to be getting ready to, and ready to go. And be able to feel that you at least tried your best with the life that you have. Don't have a whole lot of people that you feel that you need to get something straight because you didn't come real with them, or don't have situations where you're holding grudges with people. Don't be in a situation, you know, where you've neglected your vows and just wish you had more time to get your life in order. But without being dismal and gloomy, live every day like it, you know, it may be your last. Plan, you know, for whatever short things may come upon us and they may change. You said sometimes you can do your best by anticipating what could go wrong or what could happen, or participating in the worst, planning for it, but expecting the best. I'm trying to guarantee that the best can happen. But leaving it at the end of the day, leaving it up to the Lord. So that's my bottom line, is that many signs don't suggest I'm going to be around long. I put my prayers out to be a better servant, to experience whatever is necessary to allow me to get free of these attachments and ego and subtle things that whatever may be, you know, remaining. And I'm praying that whatever happens, that as best as possible, and it's used in a way to help as many people as possible. And I have my fears and frailties, and I'm suggesting that I'm ready to leave a little sooner. And so if it's okay with my spiritual master, then I'm asking, okay, take me out of here in a few days. So let's see if he says, all right. Or if he says, no. There's other work you have to do, even in this condition. Thank you all so much. I have great love for you all. I'm beginning to understand a little better the importance of association, the power of love, the power of service, and full of gratitude that somehow during the prime years of my life I was able to be available. If anything I've said or done can help you to be more serious in your spiritual life, then there's a lot of benefit. But whatever happens to me, I'm not gone. I got five, six books ready to come out. And some interesting things are in the books. After I leave, when people look a little closer at how I was used to write certain things, they will see that Prabhupada was using me to address some of the social, psychological aspects of the institution. That he used my death, or pending death, to kind of touch the heart chakra of this kind a little bit. So all of these things are having their purpose, and it's bigger than all of us. So if I do leave, don't be surprised, I'll be jumping in on your consciousness. See, I thought you were gone. I had a vision of Maharaj the other day. I had a dream of him the other day. I heard his voice. You know, I'm a persistent personality. So I thank you all very much.